Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467369.
Welcome back to a very special edition of the Black Opinions Matter podcast. My name is Amin Alhassan. Joining me today is, as always, in Arizona, Black Trey. Out on the coast in La La Land, we got Big Waz. Out in Philly, we got my man Jerv. And returning after a long hiatus, the OG himself.
Yeah,
young Mariano, what's up, man?
What's up, Jesus? What's going on, man? It feel good to be back and all that. You know what I'm saying? I've been around. I'm still around and all that. You heard?
The streets been asking about you, man.
I know, man. You know what? And I appreciate that. I want to say that first and foremost, man. Shout out to everybody who's been, you know what I mean, hitting me up, you know, whether it's on the timeline, DM, whatever, and, you know, telling me, you know, you missed the boy presence and all that. You definitely can hit the Instagram and see my headline whenever you feel like it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm here, man. You know what I mean? We back. You know what I mean? It's the OG show right here. We back.
Yes, sir. And no better way to ring in the OG show than to bring in one of our OG shows that we love to watch.
Yes. Yes.
The return of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Let's talk about it.
My guy, Larry David. Unlike last season where they took maybe like 4 or 5 episodes to warm up.
I'm going to say three.
You would still give them the benefit of the doubt on that.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because the first one was like, that was a heat check. The second one was like, all right, cut the shit. And by the third one, it was like, I see what y'all doing. And after that, they kind of gained some steam. You know what I'm saying?
I would push it all the way to the fourth. But okay. But anyways, episode one came out the box swinging. I mean, like vintage Larry David, starting with the opening scene, him walking down the street, talking to Leon, having a very Leon conversation where they were talking about, let me pull up the notes real quick. about different colors.
Yeah. Wait, before you get to that, let's talk about the real thing. Like, Leon was looking very, very New Yorkish with the
Tims, yes.
With the walk,
yeah, with the bop, construction Tims.
I was not feeling his swag, though.
Son, wait, hold on. Have you ever, though?
Nah. But I'm just saying, like, for him to be the resident black cat, and obviously he's supposed to be old and shit, but, like, the durag was always, like, money. But like that mustache was really stinky, man. It was smelly.
That's old nigga, but Trey, you know that's old nigga shit though, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you right. You know, you're right.
You so
right,
you gotta
right.
kinda so in the context of who he is and where he come from and what he represent, you kinda gotta let him rock because it's like if he was 20 years younger, yeah, we gotta get him out of here for that. We gotta have an intervention. But he did his thing. I can't front. Like he really held it down. I'm not gonna lie.
My thing about Leon is that like that's part of it. If he was cool, like dress cool, it would make a lot of the stuff he says less funny. What makes the stuff that he says funny is that he's dressed so crazy. Like there's nobody, I don't think there's anybody, or not too many people who would identify with Leon. Like, yeah, yeah, that nigga is cool or whatever.
Maybe 50 Cent, man. 50 dressed like that right now. That's what I'm saying. That's the problem. 50 Cent dresses like, I said it before, 50 dressed like his stylist be like, yo, I bet I get him to wear this today. I bet you he wears this. That's how he dressed.
No, 50 is that Fab or is that Fab?
Nah, that's 50 for sure. Fab looked like he really picked that out. Like he, you know what I'm saying? Like he did it on purpose.
I mean, y'all was stuck on the outfit. I was stuck on the cosmetic hairline. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, he got.
Like,
he
okay, had the, I see what's surgery. Happening here.
That was a good fade right there. He fronted on LeBron with that.
So they're walking. They're having a pretty meaningless conversation, but it's typical, funny.
Let me ask you something. You happy with your color?
Fuck, I love my color. Fuck, I'm mahogany.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're mahogany.
Yeah, yeah.
You happy with your color?
No.
Huh? No?
What is it? What is it?
You're like a porridge, a cream of wheat, a farina, that kind of shit.
That's what white people's skin tone is. Right, it's just right, different right. kinds of hot cereal.
Right.
Black people, your skin tone's like, it depends on the amount of milk you put in the coffee.
You're fucking right. I'm like a fucking Yoo-hoo. I shake that motherfucker up. You shake me up.
You's a good color.
Fucking good color.
Yeah, you's a really good color. Yeah.
As they walk down the street, there's a young couple trying to take a selfie with a selfie stick. And Larry don't miss a beat. Grabs the stick, snaps it in half. Hey, keeps walking.
I got you. Hold on, I got you.
I ain't gonna lie. If I had money, I'd do that shit for sure. I'd be off that shit. Like, watch out.
I wish I would throw the joint away. Throw the selfie stick away.
Hey, yeah. I'll throw that shit like a javelin.
Yeah, I wish I would have a selfie stick and somebody snapped my shit.
What you gonna do, Jerv?
Hey, dog. Listen, I'm with my lady.
Yes, you ain't doing shit.
I'm trying to get something that night, right? I'm going in.
I'm gonna keep it a buck. If I got a selfie stick and my lady is like allowing that, I'm judging her. Cause like, why you even let me come out here with this? This is 2020 right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Selfie sticks wasn't cool when they came out. They damn sure not cool however many years later. Like I can't even remember how many, you know what I mean? Like how long ago it was when they was popping. But son, it's old.
My nigga's not about the selfie sticks shame, niggas, dog. Yo, yes, you I am. Rock
yes, we are.
Stick, rock that shit.
Only I'm thing I ain't saying, you got only thing I'm Jerv. Not 20 is hairlines. Let niggas fuck it.
I'm not shaming the selfie, but you got a whole device for it? Like, nah, I'm not. Nah. Hell,
the selfie stick
right.
is definitely.
I'm standing with Larry.
Right, yeah.
He got holding an antenna cord in his hand. What's up, man? Ain't nobody hold that shit. That shit don't make it. Listen, these new iPhones, the camera's too fire, nigga. You could press the one or the two, nigga, and the camera zoom in and zoom out. You ain't
got to get the angles, though.
Hold on, that's why I thought like that joke might have been a joke that's a couple of years old, but they had to get it on. So let me give you the one criticism I have for this episode. I felt like a lot of it was, you know, like a rapper that's been locked up and he comes out and he's got all these fire rhymes that don't necessarily have anything to do with anything, but it's just been all this stuff been building up. I got to get these rhymes out.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of jokes per minute for sure.
They were just trying to get them out. Like this, we've been sitting on these like, think about it. Harvey Weinstein, not really relevant over the last
years.
Oh, it was fire. You ain't like
no, it was fire. No, I'm not. All these jokes were funny.
No, they could have saved
let
it.
Let me be clear.
They just got exactly. it off.
Let me be clear. It was definitely funny. I'm not saying these jokes were whack. It's not like last year where I was like, that's lame. The jokes are all funny, but it just didn't follow a theme or anything. They're just getting jokes off. Oh, this would be funny.
You know what the funny thing is? I mean, I thought the theme was that, to me, the theme was that it was, you know, making fun of the idea of liberalism in Hollywood.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I think that they did have a unifying theme, but I think the jokes per minute was more than they usually do.
But as I consumed it, you know what I thought about? I thought about this is the exact way that social media moves. This is the same exact way that Instagram and Twitter moves right now. Like, one thread is about MAGA. The second thread is like Me Too. The second, you know, the other thread is about this. Or it's like, oh, this dude look like that dude or like whatever. So all that shit tied together because it's like, yeah, part of it is we got to get this off because we've been off for a minute. But then the other part is like, y'all consume social media like this anyway. Look at this. Like, one second you over here, next second you right over there.
Maybe that's a good point. Like, maybe that's like it is. Yeah, a metaphor.
I think to me, I think it was a metaphor for like, like the reactionary nature of, you know, I guess the left, and then just applying it to how it you know it gets applied in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
The stuff where Richard Lewis claimed the boycott. And he then said, he found him at the.
He said, "I could do what the fuck spot." I
He's like, "No, no, no, no! I said I wouldn't come here with you."
Yeah, I'd boycott with you.
But this is what I'm saying, bro. Like that right there is the same exact thing. Like, yeah, and those characters you get on Twitter, everybody gonna boycott something. But in real life, you pulling up to that drive through, you pulling up to that shop. That's exactly what. Like to me, I took that episode. Like this is exactly what social media looked like. Like all of this is what social media looked like. Especially if you ever tweeted from TweetDeck. If you ever used TweetDeck, that's what it looked like right there in real life.
It's like people say, "Oh man, Chick-fil-A, that's bad," or whatever. And then they get in.
Weren't we supposed to be off Chick-fil-A for a little bit?
I'm pulling up for that. I never was off. I'm gonna just make that clear. I'm pulling up for that sandwich. You heard? I'm just gonna say that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend nobody. None of them. I don't stand with them for that. But
I distinctly remember a meme being like, "Yo, man, I thought it was whack, like what they did, and you know, like it's kind of corny, it's disgusting, and blah 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 blah."
But I can't say
sandwiches,
no,
bro.
Goddamn, listen.
I remember
had that spicy sandwich
buck from the start. Like, I
gotta be real. It's like people, like, I know Apple has very unsavory business practices in China. Yeah. Guess what? Not throwing away my iPhone.
You know what, too?
Or
you
MacBook.
You know what's another
AirPods.
Another little gem I caught in there was, and I don't even know if Larry Davis did this on purpose, but so Kanye had a bar about, it was on What Would Meek Do on Pusha T album on Daytona. And he said, "Will MAGA hats let me slide like a drive-thru?" Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, him wearing the MAGA hat let him navigate a little better through life. Larry did the same exact thing. Like, he you know, the biker dude confronted him at the light, and he threw the MAGA hat on and was like, "Oh, nah, you good. You cool." And he looked at him and was like, "Oh, shit, I'm cool with this hat. Like, I'm all right,
I
man.
Mean, how you know they were – it was a commentary about, I guess, the left, for lack of a better word, when Shorty was like, "My son is African American."
Oh,
and
yeah.
Larry's like, "You were way too amped to say that."
Yeah, you like it. You know what's crazy? Yeah. That's some shit Waz would like actually like impress somebody or say.
Like, yo, you was hype. You was hype right there to admit that your baby was part black. Like, it got you amped to do that.
Hey,
and then she was like, "Well, do you judge me differently?" And
am I bugging for looking at that shit? Like, he was looking at her like, "Damn, dude, she got an athletic baby in there after she was running on track."
Nah, dead ass though.
Yo, that shit was crazy. I look like, yo, this nigga's probably thinking like, yo, she got a black kid in there. Like, that nigga gonna be athletic. This how they train him.
That nigga said, "Now she's drinking coffee."
can I just shout my man Larry David out real quick for getting them. I'm trying to say the politically correct way to say it. I don't know how to say it other than the way I know how to say it, so my bad if I offend anybody. For getting them old yams back.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, no. Hey, that's the team.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, listen, let me make this very, very clear. From episode one, season one, I've been in a very, very lustful relationship with Cheryl through the TV, and right here, this was like, man, she was on some flu game type time on this.
He
like,
kissed her with the cold.
My nigga.
I would have did it too.
As soon as what you call said, "Nah, I'm not gonna kiss you," I said, "Oh, my man Larry's in."
Yeah.
He scored.
Hey, I thought it was on some old other shit, you know what I mean? Where I thought it was like another like hidden message, like she got a cold sore or some bullshit.
I thought Larry was going to, yeah, you know what? I did expect Larry to have like a cold sore the next time we saw him. I thought that's where they was going with it. But I mean, people got to remember, bro, this is like, that was the whole thing for like seven seasons is, you know, Larry and Cheryl. Like that Ted ain't that ain't her man. Like Larry is her man. Ted is, come on, son. Like, get out of here, Ted. Like, Ted is a bozo. Let's keep it 100.
Ted is like balls after Mike left.
Ted's a bozo.
Ted is like Aaron Hernandez's aunt husband.
Nah, don't do that. Don't do that. That's wild.
I'm just saying.
That's over the top for you.
Hey, but that's some foul move, though. You don't go. You don't go wipe the grimy.
Oh man, his mom was foul for that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that, too.
Let me ask this question.
Oh, mister.
What is the statute of limitations for saying Happy New Year?
Like 5 days.
January. To me, it's the whole month of January.
The first week, Walt.
The whole month?
The whole month. If I haven't seen you throughout January, the first time I seen you in January, I'm be like, yo, Happy New Year, man.
My nigga, I might
my number?
I might block.
Hey, Waz, Happy New Year, bro. I ain't talked to you all month.
Exactly.
Happy New Year, Waz.
Hey, thank you.
That shit sounds crazy
that,
today,
bro.
Waz. It's fucking bro, it's, 21 it's the, days after.
Yo, bro.
Life doesn't happen.
Okay, divide 365 by 21. What percentage is that even?
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
Too much for you to say Happy New Year after fucking 21 days. The fuck is this, math class?
The reason why I said 5 days, like, is I feel like in that first week, it's like, all right, cool. Like, everybody got that off. And if we didn't get that off, it's understood. Like, next time we talk, it's just like, let's just talk. Let's not do the, oh, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. All right, and then what? Like, come on. It's been a couple of days. We good. We here. You know what I mean? Obviously, we here.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it, like I said, for me, it's like 5 days, 5-6 days, something like that. Like, I'm not.
So like, February 1st, you're like, sorry, you missed the cutoff.
I mean, you got to cut it off sometime. Just like what y'all said, but on January 1st, are you going to say, January 4th, are you going to say, oh, you missed the cutoff? Like, you got to cut it off at some point.
I'm going to just look at niggas like they bugging. Like, why you still saying that shit, my nigga? I might really like walk by you. Like, what the fuck you own? Cause my birthday follow up after that shit. So you tell me Happy New Year and Happy Birthday. I'm gonna be like, come on, my nigga. Like,
the thing is, you say Happy New Year to me. I'm from a different place. You say Happy New Year to me, I'm gonna think something up. Like, what you trying to get? What's going on right now? Like, this is cold word or something? What you trying to? What I'm supposed to pick up on right now?
Mar, you got change for a dollar?
That's what, yeah, like, come on, yo, you know what time it is? Yeah, I know what time it is, nigga. Like, yeah, get away from me. What you talking about? Happy New Year, yeah. Happy Hanukkah,
so,
boy.
So this weekend, because we had events, it was people that I hadn't seen, and man, I hadn't seen since the year started. So I told mad people Happy New Year this weekend.
My nigga, I would have poured some fucking champagne on your head, nigga. Fuck out of here with that bullshit.
I guess maybe if you catch me drunk, maybe I might say it. I might not care, but you catch me in my right state of mind, I'm not. It's gonna be like, all right, cool. If we had an event and be drinking and all that, yeah, it could be February to whatever.
And
it could be February 31st, and we going. You know what I mean?
How often do you think about your socks? If you're like I used to be, not much, but I recently discovered socks that changed the way I'll think about socks forever. They're called Bombas. Now, Rob, like, you've noticed that the high water pants are back in style, and even me, I'm participating in the trend. And so now whenever I throw on a pair of pants, I literally have to consider what my socks look like. And that's why I like Bombas, because the styling, the creativity in the design is super distinct. And I know that I'm getting compliments, that I will be getting compliments every time that I wear it, and I'm going to get looks. And so that's why I think it's more important than ever right now, because, again, your socks are constantly showing now, especially when you're participating in the high water trend. And so that's why you should get your hands on some Bombas, man. Buy your Bombas at bombas.com/BOMM today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/BOMM for 20% off. Bombas.com/bomb. You know what was funny about the conversation between Larry and the pregnant lady too, was that it reminded me of conversations that I've had with my own friends about, is it immoral to have sex with a woman who's pregnant with a baby that isn't yours? Like,
is it? Are you, wow.
That's the, are first you, of all, it is
any experience. Quick poll. Is there any experience in the group right now?
No. Not me. I don't
know. But wait, you said experience about what?
Of sleeping with a woman who's pregnant with a baby that isn't yours. It just feels like it's kind to do that to baby.
For one, I ain't a slime like that. That's slime shit.
No, listen. It's like this. I'm not going to say, like, you got to be a... I don't know. It's situational. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, if you... When you say immoral, you asking that of an individual. Like, that's not a... You can't just paint that... You know what I mean? Like, you got to ask somebody, what's your morals?
Assuming it's not a dirty Mac. Like,
right.
Not attached to anybody... Single, but happens to be.
Have I ever wanted to? Yes, I've never done it, but there has been women that I was like, "Yo, not for nothing." Like, yeah, I'm not gonna hold you. She.
Oh, I've said that.
I've said
that on this show already. I have a weird attraction. I don't know. I don't want to call it weird to pregnant women. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just one of those things, man.
I'm gonna tell you this. I didn't want to. I'll say this. When my wife was pregnant, each time, like. Because I was so scared of, like, shit happening with the baby, like, because I don't know, like, how they lay certain ways and how nerve damage can happen and shit like that, I was scared to have sex with my own woman during that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like...
Hey, was you on some knockoff shit?
Sure.
You know what I said, too? You know what I said, too, Trey? This is how I reason with that. I said that, also, if I do have sex with you while you're pregnant... I'm disrespecting my own kid because it's like throwing eggs at a window. Like, she in there. My kid is in there. I'm just splatting on that. Like, come on. They know what's going on.
Y'all all see knocked up though, right?
And I'm splatting on like that.
Yeah, like, come on. You know the vibes. Come on.
That's what I was saying, right? Mari. It's like, yo, you really knocking this baby over, man, in this face.
Yeah,
it's
like, yours. Because I'm not pulling. I mean, because come on, hello, I'm not pulling out. Hello,
the club up game.
So that's why I found this episode funny, because we all have our own dumb like misconceptions about what women can or cannot be doing while they're pregnant, you know? Like, that's why it had me rolling. Like, Larry was really confused. Like, yo, is she really, like, sprinting right now?
Yeah, the sprint was... I was like, damn, the sprint? Now, I've seen plenty of pregnant women in the gym, and I'm like, all right, you know, listen, I get it. You got to do what you got to do. But the full-on sprint, I wouldn't have said anything. But yeah, thought might have crossed my mind, though. I ain't
bothered. My anxiety flared up crazy. I ain't gonna lie, because I was just like, nah.
Not the treadmill. Maybe the elliptical machine or something, or like the bike or something.
In my head, I just kept seeing her fall, bro, and that shit just did something. I was just like, no, please. Like, I get it. I get it 100%. But that episode is a classic. Like, that's it. Come on. That's how you... That right there is like... It's the same way that Ross opened up Deeper Than Rap, bro. Like, Mafia Music, like, that's like that. Like, if this is the intro to the season, this is going to be a classic.
Oh, I got a quick question for you. Niggas is off talcum powder?
I never was on that.
Like,
I was on baby powder. I never did the talcum powder, but I put it all in the same
baby powder category. Baby powder definitely was a wave.
Baby powder for what?
Just in the summer.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? Hitting them spots.
Keep the jewels fresh.
Hey, shout out to Manscaped. This ain't no promo, but they do got ball deodorant. But yeah, no, I ain't never do the
ball deodorant is actually
yo key. Trey, that laugh just now just almost took me out.
That's what made it funny. Wow, that's what I'm talking about.
Hey, that was the point, nigga. That was the like, nigga, act like I was cool, but they low key was a fumble. But like, I ain't never do the baby powder shit because like, I don't know. It was a fake deep nigga in the hood that always was like, nah, that shit give you cancer, nigga. So
I did hear that shit. I still used it, though.
So I never, like, really jumped up. But my man from CT, he always would, like, hit his chest with that shit for his white tee. And, like, you know, I'm not a cat that sweat like that. You know what I mean? So, like, I didn't never really, like, use it like that.
Oh, no. See, I'm a sweater, dog. So I had the
I definitely was drenched in the baby powder in the summertime.
So if you was out there with the little personal towel with you and shit, the little small, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, see, that's my flaw, fam. Like I know I should have the personal towel when I roll out.
But I don't know how long you had the baldy. So like if you didn't have the baldy, maybe you didn't think about it. Cause I know like where I grew up, every nigga that had the baldy that was a little husky, they had the personal towel. Like, you know what I'm saying?
See, that's my problem right there. Husky niggas always got the towel. So I felt like
AC always worked in they whip. I don't care if they was driving the 91, whatever. The AC work, if the engine don't work, the AC work. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was going to make sure that AC was pumping.
I played for a nigga in high school, bro. This nigga, Coach Roy. Shout out to Coach Roy. The nigga would always keep face cloth.
Yeah.
My nigga and be dabbed up. But I'm like, is he lit? Like, why? Like, because it wouldn't even
I got you.
I'm like, bro, like, it is no way, like, you sweating profusely like this on the sideline. Because he'd be hot. Like, he obviously he'd be yelling at niggas, but, like he'd be
in the game pouring. And all that.
My nigga, he be pouring. You know that Key and Peele skit where the nigga sweating? That gift that nigga's using? Used to be on the sideline, but he had a baldy, nigga. He have like the, you know, the typical nigga swag with the white tee over the A shirt, the beater. Nigga, I'm like, bro, you're drenched, nigga. And he dressed like a Florida nigga. He had the plaid shorts. Like, his swag is nasty.
Yo, I was in college. I got an ill sweat story. I was in college, and this is probably like we had this auditorium called Ogden, which is like this legendary shit in Hampton, right? So. You know, it was one of the first couple weeks there, and Ogden was hot as fuck. It's one of them old-ass buildings, no air conditioning, none of that shit. So we had to get dressed to go to Ogden for something. I don't even want to lie to y'all and tell you what it was. So I remember going in the joint, and, you know, I'm feeling myself. I'm dapped up. You know, I'm this, that, and the third. You know, it's 13-1. So, you know, you go in there, you're extra fresh, and you're just expecting to get some love for being extra fresh. I remember distinctly walking down the steps. And there was probably like a pack of like five or six girls, tough, all looking at me, right? So I'm like, oh shit, your boy's extra fresh. I got the cut. I got the lay on. I'm about to be killing them. We had extensions. My extensions is about to be popping tonight. I get back to my seat. My man says, yo, I think you need a dip. I'm like, what's up? He says, go to the bathroom. I looked on the bathroom. Yo, the back of my shirt was fucking beyond drenched. They wasn't checking me out. I had an ill sweat stain on the back of my shirt.
Your back look like cheetah print. Niggas are hitting with the water sprinklers. Like
that shit look like I didn't dry my shirt.
Hey, that's nasty, Jerv. My nigga.
Hey, dog, we family. I forgot I could let it out to the fans. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Damn, son. Damn, Jerv. I mean,
yo, this nigga just shared the most nastiest T-shirt story. You mean, nigga in the club? He in the club with the wet back, like niggas just hit him with the fucking like sprinklers and shit.
And that's why I won't roll around with the towel.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health, man. Whether it's a knee injury, a back injury, or something even worse, guys are usually more comfortable just rubbing some dirt on it. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Can you even believe that? Something that important? Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for erectile dysfunction online. Roman is a one-stop shop where you can chat with a licensed U.S. physician who can treat ED and, if safe and appropriate, ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/BOM, complete an online visit, chat with a doctor, and if the doctor decides that it would be safe and appropriate, they'll shift the genuine medication right to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really simple. So take care of it, man. Seriously, your lady's going to appreciate this. Or your guy, you know. Who knows? For a free online visit, Go to GetRoman.com/BOM. That's GetRoman.com/BOM for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/BOM.
Moving on. All right, so other things that happened. I love one of the times I laughed the hardest in this episode was Larry saying when Susie walked in, "Ladies and gentlemen, the 16th President of the United States."
Listen, I laughed uncontrollably at, like, listen, that might have been the funniest part, like the most natural, funniest part of the episode to me, because I laughed uncontrollably at that. Like, I had to pause it. I paused the show. Like, I was crying laughing at that.
Larry, I am extremely displeased with your behavior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 16th president of these United States, Abraham Lincoln. Let's give him a big round of applause.
Like you know anything about fashion. It is such an honor
to be standing near you, Mr. President.
This hat is very similar to the one that Kate Middleton wore, okay?
Oh, really?
You don't know shit.
I know you look ridiculous. How about that?
Fine. You act ridiculous. Why are you harassing my friend Randy at the gym?
Hey, you know what? Somebody has to stand up for that fetus.
You don't know anything about fetuses.
I know you don't go on a treadmill 8 months pregnant. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out.
Why not? Give
you
me a
reason. You think that's good for a fetus? Hold on, Jocelyn.
It's not your job to mansplain to Randy. Jeff, there's people I want you to meet.
Okay. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth to this continent...
him and Susie's banter gets better and better and better by the season, dude. Amazing.
Cheryl telling Larry she likes him because he makes her feel morally superior. I'm not perfect, but at least I'm better than you.
That's Larry, right.
By the way, I don't know if there's any duo as far as playing off one another that's better than Larry and Leon. In the world,
it's
in
not.
Any show.
There's no way.
There's none. When Larry walks in after coming home from Cheryl's house, and Leon says, "Where you been?" And he says, "What are you, my mother?" And Leon doesn't miss a beat. He says, "Fuck yeah, I am." These are tapping hours.
Son, when he went in there for the powder, when he went in there asking for the punch.
Hold on, before you get to the powder part. Like, you got to talk about that first time when he come home. And he's like, "Boy, these are tapping hours, man. Who you been tapping?" It's like, there ain't no late night yacht club. There's no late night garage sale. These are tapping hours. When I'm tapping, I always come home and spread the fucking news. Yeah. Oh, man.
Tapping hours is crazy. Tapping hours is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, nigga, lingo, God. Man. That's what I'm saying.
These are tapping hours, man.
Tapping hours. Savion Glover and all that.
Yo, that's sick, man. Let's go on to the next subject.
Yeah. By the way, last thing, Leon always rubs his stomach. Have y'all noticed that? I've noticed that for years. I never mentioned it. Whenever he's like not talking and he's just standing in the background listening, he starts rubbing his stomach the whole time. Rewatch that episode. Watch how many times he rubs his stomach.
Is that like a New York thing?
Again. Oh, no, nigga
again,
shit.
Again, that's the exact. I guess.
Oh, nigga shit.
I guess. What? All right, so the big thing this week was the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but the extent of how violent he was threw me off. Like, I didn't know. Yeah. I knew, like, oh, yeah, he killed these people and he killed these other people, but I did not know he was like... Mm-hmm. Like, ironically, the story that threw me off the most was not a murder. Was when he shot his mans outside the strip club.
Yeah.
I was like, good Lord, man.
Hey, he's a sicko for that one. He earned my pat on the back for that one. I was like, ooh.
No. I'll tell you who's really gangster. His man, because he called him the next day. He said, you know who this is.
Oh, yeah, no,
I'm
you
not
know.
Gonna lie. That was some power shit. Like, that was
Kanan. I was the real life Kanan.
Hey, he's the most baller guy ever, though. Like, for real, like. Back that, like, I wouldn't even bother him taking a stance after that, all that shit that went down. It's shit like that happened in the hood all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, the fact that he called him, like, nah, I'm going to handle it myself.
Right.
It just adds more paranoia to him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, bro.
He destroyed his whole life. He made him like have to move and buy guns and buy armored vehicles.
And the security system he bought ended up being his doom for that.
You know what I'm saying?
Ain't that some shit?
You know, once you shoot someone in the face and they live to tell about it, you know, like, oh man, it's a wrap for me.
It's gonna be.
And by the way, that's not snitching.
I'll tell you the one thing that I took away from this. Like, like I said, there was a lot. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, but the one thing was that. I, like, many other people, I thought the same thing like they was talking about in there. You know, they was like, you know, he some guy who had it all or whatever. And he was like this fake thug. And he was this. That's what they had us believing. Like he had no reason for any of this. And again, like Jade and I talked about this on last episode of MORE a little bit. Like, I'm not condoning this. I'm not caping for him. I'm not, you know, none of that. I lost a brother to gun violence. This shit not cool. None of it. Right. I didn't know he went through that much shit in his life. Like, I didn't know he had that much going on in his life. I didn't realize the extent of his mental health issues. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the wild part. The wild part is one of the makeup girls in Bristol went to high school with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember her telling me this was, you know, right when it happened. She said, "Oh yeah, man. Like he was the nicest kid in the world. And then as soon as his pops died, that's when everything changed for him."
Right.
And I thought that was it. Like, that was the one traumatic thing that happened in his life. And you know, that combined that with CTE, and now that's what you got.
And then, add that to the fact that when they started going in the detail about how his pops was behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Versus, like, you know, so you got to think about the dynamic of your pops is viewed as the king. Like, they literally call him the king. And you're going to have a hard time convincing people who praise this man that he's doing these, you know, these crazy things behind closed doors to his family nonetheless. So when I saw that, I was very conflicted throughout the whole doc because a part of me was just like, nah, this shit ain't cool. But then it was like, if we're going to talk about mental health and we're going to address mental health, we can't pick and choose when we're going to talk about this and say, oh, nah, well, he suffered from it. But it's different. Like, nah, that he was going through a lot of shit. I had no idea about that.
Think about the trauma of like having a dad who was, I guess we could all say he was abusive, mm-hmm. right? So there's that layer. Then the next layer is even through all the abuse, he beating your mom, he come back home drunk, all that stuff. He's still like what Mari said, he's the king. And so you kind of want his acceptance and favor. So you add that layer onto it. Then you add the next layer of, oh, by the way, he's gay and his dad is like super homophobic. So there's no way I can be myself and have my father's respect. And then later on to that, my father dies, which is traumatic for anybody, but especially when you idolize, you want this dude's approval, whatever.
Right.
And then later on top of that, oh yeah, a couple of months after my father died, my mom's banging my cousin's husband.
Ain't that some shit?
That was some wild shit.
In the kitchen making bacon in his drawers.
I'm not gonna lie.
I really thought about that, baby boy.
That would definitely shift a lot of cats' mental.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
There's no way.
And I think that's the story of the doc too, right? Because I saw a lot of stuff on social media out there where people like, oh, the NFL is happy that they're blaming Kaepernick's murderous ways on, you know, his closeted homosexuality.
Whoa, Hernandez.
Wow,
you said Kaepernick?
Did I say Kaepernick?
Yeah, you sure did.
Whoa.
Uncle Ruckus. That nigga Uncle Ruckus.
Damn, Waz.
Send me the link to the doc you saw, my boy. I need to see that one.
Hey, you're a sicko.
Yo, but, man. Hernandez,
man. I won't say what he said, man.
Hey, a boy from the Patriots was not needed in the doc. The quarterback low-key had his 10 minutes of fame. He low-key wasn't needed.
I read somewhere, someone saying, that dude is the most fraudulent person in the doc.
He wasn't the quarterback, they said.
He wasn't the quarterback. Exactly. Like, he never played.
If I can, real quick, he did. It was the dude was, I guess, older, or there was like a time difference, but like they weren't doing varsity together. They played like JV or something together. I saw that dude making the rounds, but I looked into it too and I saw the rosters and they did play together for like 1 year or like one season.
He made it seem like this
he wasn't the star quarterback. Yeah, no. He wasn't the star quarterback.
I'm the star quarterback. He's a star tight end. We out here, we partying, we doing living life. Like, he made it seem like they were Biggie and Puff. When in reality, it was Biggie and Lil C's.
It was his brother, though. That was the
Don't disrespect Lil C's like that, bro.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Should I say Biggie and Klepto? Is that
Lil C's had a fire album, bruh.
Does anyone remember Klepto? No?
I don't even know who that is, Big Dog.
Klepto was in Junior Mafia.
I remember Klepto.
Yeah, he was.
But so to me, that's what it's about, right? It's like you take all of these things together. It's not just the CTE. It's not just that, you know, he had an abusive father growing up. It's not just that same abusive father was helping him stay on the right path and then, you know, abruptly died. You know, and also he's a closeted gay person. Like all of those things taken, you know, together help you understand what was happening with this dude.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's the story. It's like, damn, this right. is more layered yeah. than you think. You think to yourself, like, how could a dude do this? Like, exactly. How could he sign for 40 M's and be on the best team and the best organization in football
that lost
still the- have Yo, this craziness happening?
Let me tell you the wildest thing. Because all along throughout this, we've always said the Patriots, yo, you guys had a mass murder in your locker room. Y'all ain't even know, da da da. And that's that used to be my criticism. I got a new criticism after watching this shit. It's not even that. It's the dude literally tells you, yo, I think they try to get me. Please trade me away from Boston.
That was foul,
and
dog.
And Bill like, no, we got a Super Bowl.
Get a new crib.
Get a new crib. And said, move into a more secure location. And did y'all see the apartment they moved him into?
That shit
my first apartment in college.
So that was a trap house.
So like I said, we talked about this on MRE, right, with Jade. Jade has a conspiracy that the only reason why the Patriots didn't move him into a better location was because they had a bunch of players already in those locations, and they ran out of space. So they put him
that's probably not a terrible idea.
But nah, like you said, like that's the story about it is like it's way more layered. And you know, when you start to hear for me, one of the most chilling parts of it was hearing him with the jail conversations. You know what I'm saying? Talking to his baby mother, his mom. His, you know, his aunt, his cousin, whoever, you know.
Yo, his like, baby, you know, moms, man. Woo.
Yeah, like listen.
I don't know what to make of her, man.
I wanna give credit for loyalty, but I heard she got knocked up by his teammate, B.
She was loyal to him when she had.
Loyal to who? You gonna be loyal to this dude over your sister?
Yeah, she was, though.
She right?
was loyal to the bread, bro. She's not loyal to nobody but bread.
Yeah, time out.
She's bread.
She got, yeah. Bruh, I don't give a fuck about the bread, whatever you want to say. The motherfucker came in with the hammer, and she got rid of the shit. Well, she tried to get
rid of it. She said, that looked like a black blob to me. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, like, bruh, like, that shit good right answer. There. Good that answer. Was art of that also, was art of riding for your people's 101. I don't know the blob. Baby.
I'm not gonna hold you.
She said, "I don't know what dumpster I dumped it in."
Hell yeah, I don't remember.
Isn't that what Tasha did when she first met Ghost? Right,
yeah, like, or when it, yeah, that's part of the story. She hit a gas.
I mean, that shit like Henry Hill, like Henry Bro, Hill.
She's grimy, fam.
You remember Henry Hill went across the street, pistol whip homie. Gave it a yes. Yo, put this up. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold this down for me real quick. Like, it was one of those type of things. But with her, I'm going to say this. Whether you think she right or wrong, or you think she loyal, unloyal, whatever, she was at those court days, bro. And his family was like, nobody else showed up. Like, I don't care what was going on. She showed up. Whatever she was loyal to, he needed that. You know what I'm saying? And I think she knew that. Like, look, whatever it is, he needed to turn around and see somebody that was on his side, like, kind of. And it was... That's why I said I was kind of conflicted watching the doc.
At the same time, Mari, like, she knows that she has to see this thing through. Even if there's hardly any chance this dude could get out of jail and maintain the same life that he did, she knows. She's like, I got to see this through. Like, if I'm going to continue to live in a mansion and do all of the things that, you know, being married to a star football player affords me, that's how I see it. Because to me, when you say, like, yo, I'm really close to my sister and I love her and, you know, this is the person that I've grew up with and my best friend in my whole life.
But see, how messed up was – this is the messed up part. She didn't say any of that. When they asked her –
How oh, understand? She try to act like, yeah, no, nah, I don't know.
We're not close. We don't fuck with
really know her like that. I mean, you know, she's crazy? Just my sister.
You know what's crazy? They asked her how close they were, and she was like, and like define close. In the very next scene, somebody was like, they were inseparable. They were like,
she did that shit like she was trying to hit. You know how niggas be like, hey, how
yes,
close?
Yes, yes.
Like, that's my man. My man.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck with him like that.
I mean, I know Bo, but I don't know him all like that.
I mean, we met a couple times. You know what I'm saying?
That's actually Sun Man's. Like, I don't really know Duke like that. Like,
oh man,
like, hey, Juan said that shit like he said it from experience. Nigga said, nah,
that's Sun Man. That's Sun Man. I don't know.
I stopped meeting like my son like that. That's
nah,
my
not at all. Nah. We ain't kin.
Now listen, I mean, you asked us earlier, have we been in the pregnant situation? Are we all been in this situation? Like, nah, that's my man. That ain't my
own girl like that.
Wait, hold on. So, Mari, you weren't around for this conversation we had a few months ago. Oh Lord, it was one of the highlight episodes of 2019, the Dirty Mackin episode.
Nah, we talked about that. I was on that.
You are? Nah, he was on that joint.
I was on that.
Okay.
No, that's not.
Yeah,
that's
Amin, not Amin doesn't listen to old episodes. He doesn't listen to any episodes.
Yeah, no.
That's not new episodes. Hey, new episodes, old episodes.
That's just, you know what that's called, Amin? That's called setting the record straight. That's called clarity. You know what I'm saying? Like, you thought it was something. That's just clarity. That's not Dirty Mackin. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, by the way, Amin, to back to your Patriots point. Remember when the realtor was like, yeah, I know a guy at the Patriots who, she couldn't say what this homie does. She was like, he does stuff for the
things.
The lady that got the side apartment for homie. Yeah, like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I have a contact over there who does stuff for the players. Which in my head, I was like, oh yeah, they definitely all get side cribs so they can bring their little side joints and
I'll tell you another
any
piece.
Pickle they get
the White
into.
House. You never heard the story of Michael Irvin with the White House?
Oh,
never heard of the White House. No,
you never heard of the White House?
Michael Irvin had a side house that was called the White House. I'll let you put two and two together there.
I bet I know why.
We're losing the recipes.
This is what's wrong with today. The young ladies today, they're not learning from mom how to cook. We're losing recipes. And now we're going to
lose recipes.
This man, we played in this cold weather. Stop, we was cold. Recipes.
He's real tough.
Said we was cold.
Hey, that nigga got the best quotes, my nigga, ever.
Yo, one quick thing about the joint. It was weird for me watching this shit because, I mean, you're familiar. Like, you know how where ESPN's at. I lived maybe a block or two away from ESPN. To the right, if you come out of where I used to live, you make a right, go down maybe like a half of a mile, like maybe three blocks, New York type blocks or whatever. That lake that they showed in episode one was the lake that they were searching the whole joint in. Like for the
is that Lake Compounds?
No. Lake Compounds is close to the amusement park. I don't know the name of the lake, but that was the lake that they were looking for the gun in. And like half the shit that they were saying in this was the rumors or the everything that was going around just through Bristol. Like you said to me, like you knew the makeup lady, like, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, because so for those of you guys who don't know, Jerv is like one of like seven employees that actually live in Bristol. Yeah. Nobody lives in Bristol. Everybody lives in West Hartford or New Haven or Fairfield or somewhere else. And then you got Jerv and like their own version of the White House.
And Danny. Jerv and Danny.
I was gonna name other names.
Oh no, man. It's the statue's over.
Okay, so my man Danny was a producer on The Jump. They all lived in one big house. That was like the house that like ESPN people when they wanted to go unwind because they didn't want to go all the way home. You went to. Did y'all have a name for the house, Jerv?
Oh shit, we did. I can't, man. You know my memory sucks. I can't remember.
Point being, good good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. That's
point
a being. Great answer.
Point being, like a lot of first of all, a lot of the people who work at ESPN who are like, security. The makeup ladies, the people working the calf, right? All these people are like locals. So a lot of them like are from there in Bristol. And Bristol ain't big. So it's kind of wild that this small town that happens to house the worldwide leader in sports also produced like a complete psychopath and also Aaron Hernandez.
He's just a complete
come on.
Hey, chill out, man.
Come on. I had to do it, man. Oh, come on. Hold on. The ball's right there over the plate. You're not going to swing at it. I got to swing at it.
This, this is why I love a meme, man. For everybody listening right now, if you've never met a meme in person, this is very, very mild. Very mild. Like,
oh man, it was just, hey man, I felt like Altuve, man. I got a buzzer telling me this one's gonna be a fastball down the middle.
Here we go.
Amar, you just triggered something on me. I had an issue with the doc though. Trey, who the fuck is going to the gas station to buy Black and Miles to roll up?
Oh yeah.
That bothered me. Like, I was
somebody tried to explain that shit on Twitter. Like, yeah, that's a thing that I'm like, is that a Connecticut thing? Because that's
never. Nasty. I've seen people do it in Jersey,
bro. You
get the black necessity.
I've seen it out of necessity. Rolling up.
I've seen it.
You take the paper off, and then they take the tobacco
one at a time.
They re-put it back in. Like, I've
one
seen
at a time.
People
let, let me just say right now, bro. I've seen people do it out of necessity because there was nothing else. I've never seen anyone given the choice say Black and Mild, sir.
Yeah, look. I was gonna say when I was watching it, I was like, oh wait a minute, they talking about freaking it. Like, that's what because I'll say this, like, I'm not. It's not that I ever did it. I was around and I saw people, like you said, out of necessity, because it was like, man, I'm not about to make that trip to the store. You got to, like, look, do this. Oh, he know how to freak the, you know, the black and white, blah, blah, blah. And they did that. And I'm like, freaking, like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I seen him do it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I've never seen anybody. Maybe I'm getting too technical. Listen, everybody knows me. I've taken the tobacco out of the black of mine. When I used to be on this campus, I used to take half of the black out and I used to put weed inside of the black, and then I would go around and cover
myself.
You're
a sicko.
Hold on. Derv, what's the most exotic / out of the way thing you've ever used to smoke weed out of?
Exotic.
Have you ever done the apple?
Nah, man. Like, that's
the first thing that came
to mind. I went to a black college, yo.
Niggas are doing apples in Iowa. That shit look nasty.
My roommate was this dude named Todd Grimace. Todd was from Pittsburgh. He's black, right? I think he was an alpha, if I'm not mistaken. Todd Grimace rolled a joint out of the label of a Heineken bottle.
Nah, and that's what I said. I could always get four quarters to get a Dutch. Like, I could always get four quarters.
Yo, man, what is he up to right now? Do you know? When the last time you heard from him?
I have not heard from the
Criminal Minds. Let me just say this about Sean already. Like, what's going on?
I've not heard from Todd Grimace since the day he rolled the blunt out of my.
You know what? That sound about right. Come on, man.
Yeah, but I've seen people do that. The spliff, they call it the spliff or whatever, where they take out, you know, they'll just like squeeze it between their fingers and then like have all the tobacco fall out, and then they'll put the butt in there. People will put the weed with, like Jerv's point, put the weed with the tobacco because they like smoking
it. That's what I'm saying.
Whatever.
Maybe I got too technical because they said roll. So I've also seen
like people rip the tips off. Take like and just like split it like normal.
That shit is poor and nasty.
Yeah, it's not good.
I also seen niggas put the roaches together to make one. That shit is poor too.
I'm gonna keep this out the show, but I've been known to do that. Like roll a whole roach into a joint.
Listen, don't ever do that. That's nasty.
I've been known. Don't be a coward.
That's the chef. What they call it? A captain special or whatever the case may be.
I don't know.
Nigga, you know.
Ain't nothing wrong with collecting your roaches.
My nigga,
breaking all your roaches up and putting them together. You get all like types of delights.
Jerv, this might be the bougiest shit ever.
Flavors.
But listen, I'm not pinching no fucking roach, dog. If that shit not like at least like, you know how like the pencil is, nigga, where the metal part in the eraser. If that shit ain't that length, nigga, where I'd have to, if I have to pinch the fucking like blunt, nigga, it's out. Well,
I'm gonna say this to you, bro. You was in Cali, so you always had access. But after 9/11, right, and that shit dried up like crazy. I had to do what I had to do, dog. I'm gonna keep it all the way real with you.
I love the idea that in the post 9/11 world, it was like Mad Max,
bro. Niggas was charging 25 to 30 for a Nick after 9/11 on Anthony's.
You know what's crazy? In like 10 more years, when they do the doc about the shit, like another doc, they're gonna have people out there talking about, they was like, people got sick from asbestos and all that, and Jerry gonna be on there like, man, I had the, you know how many roaches I had to put together.
This, yeah, God, like, crazy. That shit was a depressing time. Nigga couldn't get a good bag. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you want to move on to power now?
We can.
Mark sounds thrilled for this one. Yeah. I need to hear some Mark takes, man. Maybe he could save the show, or maybe he could give some funny takes, because I'm all the way.
Yeah. Did you watch?
I did.
No, Trey, did you watch?
Oh, Trey. I turned that shit off, man.
I'm gonna say this, right? 2 Bit is the illest.
Hold on. Breaking fucking news. Mm-hmm. Let me give y'all the underground rumor that arrived at my doorstep today.
Is it a spoiler? Today.
It's not a spoiler.
Okay.
But it explains a lot. Are y'all ready for this? So, if you've been watching Power the last 6 seasons or whatever, you've been keeping track of the rise of 2-Bit from literally a 2-Bit character to just a kind of comedic relief of a clown and not really a smart dude, to all of a sudden becoming more intuitive and like a not a major power player, but definitely like a bigger character, right? Y'all noticed that, right? Have y'all noticed that?
Yeah. I never thought he was not smart. I thought he was just like street smart. Like
that. But last 2 seasons, he's been like barking back at Tommy. He's been like checking, like, who are you letting this dude in?
But also a lot smarter, right? Like before he was an idiot.
Yeah, for sure.
He was an idiot. And now he's kind of like smart about stuff, right? So this is what arrived at my doorstep today. Apparently, the nigga that played 2-Bit is smashing them Courtney Kemp cheeks.
Hey.
Wow. Oh, man.
And that's what I call,
I mean,
make it work to your advantage, good sir. And the dude went from a character that's literally named 2-Bit. The definition of 2-Bit is like,
I have a question though. I mean, in light of the Me Too era, do we not have a problem with the power dynamics at play?
Well,
The guy's a big character. She's the showrunner. She has the power to literally make his character disappear, and she's sleeping with him. That's problematic.
Is it problematic if he's the one that initiated?
I don't really give a fuck. I just wanted to say that.
I know Waz is rooting for him.
Let me ask this question. If you were a 2-Bit character on Power.
Yes. 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 You don't even got to ask the question. Yes.
Man, well, they didn't even let you finish the question.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. You guys, I'm doing that shit.
I'm doing it even if she killed a character. I'm just keeping 100 with you.
That's what my source told me.
It's not just because the character. By the way, Waz, you know the source.
Is it proof?
No, it's proof. Come on, proof's in Sudan, man.
Oh, okay.
No, listen. I'm going to say this about Power, right? Like, here's my assessment of Power. Since they came back from the break after all the Who Shot Go shit, all that, I've enjoyed every single episode. I'm gonna say
don't
I might
this.
Be a minority.
Liar. No, listen,
let me get this off. Let me get this off. The reason why is because they could have easily shot us just whatever, like some bullshit about, you know, whatever. Like, they could have just revealed who shot him and then moved on, whatever. My thing is this. Where they're going, I'm scared of where they're going. I've enjoyed the episode because, like, it's all been from, like, it's like Vantage Point, like the movie Vantage Point, right? You see, it's the same shit happen, but, you know, now you're giving us the breakdown from everybody's point of view, all that.
I just have one question for you. All right. I have one question for you. You like the pause episode?
Hell no, he didn't. I understood it. I didn't really necessarily, because I don't really like pause. Like, I don't really like her. But the episode.
Nobody does. That's my point.
Yeah,
nobody.
The episode was like, don't get me wrong. They had to show it because she had been a part of like the buildup. So I understand it, but I didn't necessarily. I was indifferent about it because I was just like, whatever. Okay, that was a filler. That was just whatever. Well, I could have did without that. I definitely could have did without it. But but back to my point about the episodes is like, I get what they're doing. What I don't want them to do is give us the obvious ending. Like, I don't want the obvious super obvious ending. Like, that's not what I want.
What would be the obvious ending?
You Tariq. Think? It's Tariq up there, you know, killed.
But didn't he say like, she? When Tommy had him, didn't he say she?
He said,
let him go.
He said, let him go. He said, let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Because he looked up and said, what? And this is what I said. I tweeted it when I watched it. That made me feel like fucking Cash did it. Because Tommy looked up like, wait, what? Like, nah, hold on. What you doing?
I'm going to tell you right now. If Cash did that shit, I'm breaking my TV.
But I'm saying, like, that's what it was. But, like, but I guess I get it. It's just one of those shows that, like, I'm invested in it now. Like, I got to see it through. Like, I have to see it through. I got to. What I'm going to do, I've been watching this shit the last 6 years. I'm going to just, now all of a sudden, I'm going to just be like, eh, all right, I'm off that. Like, nah, I watched Game of Thrones to the very last episode. You think I'm about to quit on this? Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Anybody that watched Game of Thrones to the very last episode and you quitting on Power, we got to have a conversation. Because they built that last season up. That last season was some bullshit if we really keeping it 100. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there was some good moments in the last episode, in the last season of Game of Thrones. But let's be real about it. They built all of that shit up in that last episode, you know, prior to the final season. And it was some bullshit. It was a letdown. Like, let's just be real. It's months later, a year later, whatever. I got to see it through. That's all I'm saying.
So let me ask y'all this. How did y'all feel? Because I actually thought it was, believe it or not, I actually thought it was the better of the three episodes that's happened so far. It was actually, semi-well written to a degree.
It was good.
Like, it wasn't cheesy. But my beef with the episode, like a real beef I have, is that Tommy makes his moves, right? He does what he does. He, you know, he's there when Ghost gets shot. All of a sudden, when Ghost is shot, it's just him on the ground. No one else is in the building. Everybody else runs away, which I think is the weirdest shit, because this man's running for office and there should be police on the scene right away. Tommy shouldn't have been able to just walk in there and have this intimate moment with him by himself. But whatever. He goes back to the house, gets the Aaron Hernandez type car that's been in the aunt's fucking garage or whatever, takes the hood, takes the cover off, rides out in broad daylight, kills somebody, and pulls a Dre. He has to go stop at the little girl's house? Like, why doesn't Tommy just head to Cali ASAP? His car is wanted. He just killed somebody.
But that's Tommy, though.
I have a bigger beef. All I could think of was, I hope that if someday my life is tragically ended far too soon by somebody, that none of my children become kind of like understanding soulmates with the guy who killed me. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, like, she was like, I get it. She like, I get it.
He was kind of a dick. I'm like,
but she kind of realized her problem was a piece of shit.
That don't matter. You can tell me right now my dad is a piece of shit. Like, I don't want to be
friends. Well, it shouldn't matter, but Tariq exists. So, I mean, let's kind of, you know, let's remember. It shouldn't, but it is a theme on this show. Like, yeah, he kind of was that. But the thing about Tariq is, like, I just don't understand it. I do get that the time that Ghost took him to the Knicks game, it was like, all right, this is it. You go bring me to see the fucking Knicks, you got to go. I get that. Like, he should have took him out a long time ago.
That was child abuse.
You gonna let him live after the Knicks game. You shouldn't have no beef with him after that, bro. Like, y'all went and did that. You did the private service and all that. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's really good with you? So, I don't know, man. Like I said, there's two episodes left, whatever. I wasn't mad at this episode at all. I think Tommy's the only person on the show that I think has a code and stuck to it. He's who people thought Ghost was. Like, he's exactly what people, when they talk about Ghost and they talk about the myth of Ghost and the legend, like, that's what Tommy is. That's what Tommy's, like, been holding it down since the beginning. He took out people he loved for the sake of the code he stood. You know what I mean? Like, the morals and shit like that.
And that's why I always said in season 3, he should have killed Ghost and they should have made him the main dude.
Tommy is he's the guy. Like, to me, he's the best. Like, you know, my wife had him. She was like, yo, like, so do you like him or you don't? And I was like, well, I think he's one of those characters, whether if you like him or not, you got to respect him. If you love him or hate him, you have to respect Tommy.
He's definitely getting the spinoff, right? It's definitely him.
Got to.
Tommy is the third gangster in the history of gangsters to walk away free with all his money.
We don't know that yet, though. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, he could be doing the spinoff.
Well, here we go. In Power, whatever the fuck the other shit's going to be called.
Book 2?
In, but whatever. Tommy escaped. He got away. He has all his money. He's got. I mean, yeah. Until the Method Man and Mary J. Blige shit comes out, and then we get to hopefully trash that a little bit.
Hopefully. Why you say hopefully?
Because I mean, it could fuck around and be good.
Yeah, that shit gonna be good. I think it's gonna be good. I mean, Method Man hasn't given me a reason that something he's attached to is gonna be bad. Like,
mean, what was that?
Giving you reasons?
He was cheesed.
Method Man hasn't, but some other people are still saying
that. Nigga said,
So did you guys like the thing with the girl? I just kind of didn't. I just was so confused by the whole thing with the little girl. I'm just like, what are we driving around for? What are we doing? Like, a lot of this show, like, to Mari's point, like, some of these episodes, besides the pause one, like, some of them have actually been, like adding info about, like, what's going to happen, and I kind of like it, like, how they've been weaving it. But, like, there's just some parts where I'm just like, why did we need the whole thing with the little girl if it's just, like, just to come back and be like, nah, it's cool. You know what I mean? Just, like, snatch that shit. Well, he didn't know if she was there. I don't know. This just show is just so confusing sometimes because I'm just like, why is she so willing to spill all the beans all the time to everybody? Like, she's running her mouth to everybody, to Tommy, to Tariq. She's telling everybody everything about everything else. But this one thing with the necklace, like, she's just holding it. Like, it's just so confusing. And, like, everything with the family, like, that's it. That's just – Tommy just goes free. Okay, see you later. Like, nothing happens. Like, they don't get in a big-ass, big fight with the family.
I mean,
I'm glad he killed son, but he's not. But that dude is not part of the family, though, right? Like, he was just doing that because, like, he owed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about this big bad family.
Yeah,
but I think
what it was. I think that her uncle made him go put that work in. Like, bro, you fucked that up. You gonna make that right? I'm not about to. I'm the boss. Like, what I look like? What I look like coming down here? You know the voice on the phone. Obviously, you got a connection with homie. You said that's who. All right. Well, I know it's Pops. You go put that work in. I'm not about to go out here and get my man's dirty or get my man's in the line of fire. You go do that because now I'm putting it on you. Now you got to step up and show and prove and put in some work. So you go do that.
I just didn't like how they made that family look like the goddamn evil empire. And then they had a son go out and try to clean it up. Then he got blasted. And then, like, we don't hear anything about this family anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had guards outside the crib. I'm like, that's crazy.
But to me, the bigger thing is when he dropped her off, there was nobody at the house.
Right, which makes me think, like, what the fuck is the point of this family protecting them for? Like, what's good? Like, I don't know. Every movie that we see, these mob families are crazy.
Even when they had the family at the house,
you said it was nobody at the house. You talking about, like, somebody out there, like, watching the crib?
Tommy just killed them all, though.
Right. Well, not even. But still, though, Jerv, that's the thing is, like, with these gangsters in the mob movies, like, you see these relentless-ass gangsters, like, will not stop until they get what they want. And then Tommy just airs out some dudes that they were already mad at, right? Because that dude was not part of the main family. He's, like, a connection to it, I guess. Or he's, like, related by marriage or whatever.
He's the Sopranos. He's the Jersey family.
He's not. You talking about the little Vincent or whatever?
Yeah, Vincent.
He's a rival family. Exactly. That's the reason why. Yeah.
And that's my thing is, like, why are we even bringing in this main family for? Like, what's the point? We're building this thing up. We're making this family look awesome. Right, like, they're a whole, like, damn, they're running the whole city, right? Like, Tommy's so scared that he's trying to leave town.
I think it was happenstance too, because Tommy was like, damn, of course that's your uncle, like, of course that's my luck. That too,
Tommy was whatever. Shook, you know what I mean? Tommy has been a badass this whole series, right? He's been a badass this whole series, and you say this dude's name, shit, that's your uncle, and he's shitting himself. I need to leave town. Can I see this family? You'll do some crazy shit, like, where, come on.
To be honest, Vincent was, like, really – a lot of people thought Vincent was the guy. So, in a way, like, this dude coming over here telling Vincent, yeah, nah, you go do this shit. It's like, that's the power play. It's like, you got a crew of people, you go make this shit happen. And that's all I'm going to say. Like, I don't got to do nothing else. Y'all go do this shit.
Oh, yeah, that was badass. But I'm just like, it's just another thing in the theme this season of, like, why are we bringing in this dude? For what? Yeah, what are we bringing this character in for?
I get what you're saying. Like, if you don't see anything after that point, like, if you, we only brought you in for this scene.
Especially this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I understand the Paz's son. I get that. I understand, you know, earlier with Dre's girl. I get that. You're telling their stories. I get it. I understand. But, like, at the same time, it's like, you're not bringing anybody new in Tommy's world, right? We don't know there's a secret, another secret dad, or there's another secret. Like, this person's coming into the show. What are we doing?
It's almost like this is a poorly written show.
No, yeah, and that's why, like, sometimes I'm like, damn, this show could be so much better if they changed X, Y, and Z, man.
Rob, that was the exit. Rob, that was the exit point, man. It was a punchline, and I was like, he cut right there. I'm like, hey, that's been a great episode of Black Opinions Matter. Hey, big reminder, was it March 28th? Is that the date?
Okay, it is March 28th.
March 28th. The Toll House.
Bell House.
I think it's available right now on countthedings.com or on any of the social websites for us at Count the Dings on Twitter and on Instagram. Also, you can go to at Jade Hoy. He's got that stuff too. Special thanks.
I think for the first time, I might actually come here with like actual clippings in my hair to pass out too. So show up. You know what I mean?
Is it Manscaped Clippers? Or?
Nah, man. Not
the one with the headlight that Trey had. Trey was demonstrating.
Yo, son, they ain't sent me that. They sent me that. You know what I mean?
Trey's like, it's got a headlight. Check it out. special thanks to Black Trey, the Big Waz. Special thanks to Rob Lopez on the 1 and 2s. John Gervais, of course. Mariano, thank you for coming back. Hopefully we make it more frequent again.
Definitely.
This has been Black Opinions Matter.